So we've had an introduction to seagrasses and all the important things that they do. But let's move on to some of the more iconic inhabitants of seagrass meadows, the Sirenia or sea cows. And that includes three species of manatees and the dugong. So, Sarah, do you know the easiest way to tell a manatee from a dugong? And no, this isn't some kind of joke.
No, I wouldn't have the first idea, actually.
Because from the front end, they do look quite similar. But if you get to their tail, manatees have spoon-shaped tails and dugongs have a fluked tail, like a dolphin or a whale. So that makes them quite easy to tell apart. Well, the least known of all the Sirenia is the West African manatee. As the name suggests, they live along the west coast of Africa and they have a huge range between Senegal all the way down to Angola. And they can also move hundreds of miles inland along rivers as well. And someone who knows more than anyone else about these mysterious marine mammals is researcher and conservationist Lucy Keith Gian. Now, she told me how she first got tempted to visit West Africa in search of manatees.
I had actually been working with manatees in Florida and the Caribbean for 6 years when I went to a scientific meeting, marine mammalogy conference, and just by pure coincidence, I met there a humpback whale researcher who was working in Gabon, West Africa. And he mentioned to me that each day as he traveled to his study site out in the Atlantic Ocean in Gabon, he was actually passing a lot of West African manatees. And from everything he'd heard, they were quite rare, but here he was seeing them daily. He thought that was pretty interesting.
Lucy ended up spending the next 6 years working with manatees in Gabon, and she began visiting other parts of the manatees range across West Africa. And as she travelled around, saw more manatees, and spoke to people in different countries, it became obvious just how mysterious these animals are.
There's so little known about the species. We don't even know how long the species lives, the age of sexual maturity. We don't know anything about mother-calf behavior. For example, in Florida, when a mother manatee gives birth, the calf stays with it for 2 years. And in Africa, we have no idea if that's the case. That's an important time because the mother actually teaches her calf everything it needs to know to survive, where to go to get food, where to go to get fresh water.
So to answer some of those big questions surrounding West African manatees, Lucy is conducting a range of studies, including working out how long they live.
Manatees, we age them through their ear bones because they have what's known as marching molars. Their teeth in their jar, basically on a conveyor belt, and they use their teeth, obviously, to crush plants. And as they wear them out, they lose their teeth, and the back teeth move forward throughout their life. And therefore, we can't really use those to age them. But their ear bone is very similar to, say, the otoliths of a fish or also the rings of a tree, where it can be sliced, and we can actually count the rings to determine their age.
Lucy and her colleague, Katie Brill, from the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., have recently, for the first time, worked out the age of West African manatees using ear bones collected from dead animals. The oldest they found was 39 years old, which is surprisingly old for a manatee. For other species of Sirenia in the wild, anything over about 20 years is considered pretty old. But they also found some younger manatees too.
Particularly in Ghana, where they're heavily hunted in Lake Volta, the ages were a lot younger. You know, they were the only manatees that were in the single digits, like 3, 4, and 5 years old, which starts to make you concerned that perhaps they're hunting these animals so young that they might not even be able to reproduce, because we don't know the age of first reproduction in the species. But in Florida, it's 5 years old. So if they're not even making it to 5, then they're going to hunt them all out before they can even reproduce.
Another part of the manatee puzzle that Lucy has set out to solve is how their populations are subdivided across their enormous range. It's known that individual manatees don't tend to swim very far. Their home ranges are less than 100 miles. And this raises important questions for conservation.
Where are the population boundaries? You know, where are areas where genetically these manatees might be very different from other populations and therefore more important to protect if you want to protect biodiversity of the species? And add to that that you also now have many man-made dams throughout all major rivers in Africa that are now separating some of these populations permanently. In Mali alone, in the Niger River, you have at least 4 or 5 major dams, and I just heard about a new one that's going in. So you actually chopped up the population there into these 4 or 5 different groups that can never mix again and interbreed. And going forward in the future, if we hope to conserve these animals, it's really important to know how different they are from each other or how similar.
To work out where those natural and man-made boundaries lie, a genetic study is underway, using tissue samples from wherever Lucy can get them.
It's very difficult to get the samples. The manatee either has to be dead, unfortunately, or else, captured alive and sampled. And there really aren't many people able to capture safely a live manatee. And there are a few cases where the animals are rescued and released, but unfortunately, most of the samples do come from manatees that are dead, either from natural causes or through hunting.
Another aspect of manatee ecology that Lucy and her team are investigating is what they eat. In parts of their range where there is seagrass, then that does tend to form an important part of their diet. They also eat various other types of aquatic vegetation, including floating plants like water lilies, or when rivers flood, manatees swim out across the dry land and graze on grasses and shrubs. But this can be highly seasonal, and rather than having to cope with cold winters like manatees in Florida, the West African manatees have to deal with long dry seasons when there's not much around to eat. And that could be why, despite being famous vegetarians, Lucy is finding out that this isn't always the case. West African manatees, it seems, will also eat shellfish.
I have seen manatees eating clams in Angola in a freshwater river system. And, some of these clam shells are quite hard to crush, so it's amazing that they can do it. I'm told by the local people in Angola that they believe that the manatees are eating only the small ones or the dead clams that pop open, and so the clam meat would be exposed.
To get more information about manatee diets, Lucy is carrying out a stable isotope analysis. This involves taking samples of body tissue, like hair and bone, and examining the chemical fingerprint that's left behind when manatees eat particular types of food. That way, she's building a picture of what they eat across their range. Another thing that she's discovering is that in some places, manatees and people are sometimes chasing after the same food.
Another thing that we got a lot of reports of, and in one place I've verified it to be true, is that the manatees take fish from nets. And again, I think this partially goes back to this dry season fasting or, very little food resources available for them in the dry season, that they do take fish out of fishermen's nets. They actually suck the fish meat off the fish and leave the head in the net, which, of course, doesn't make the fishermen very happy. But in a way, I think it's kind of ingenious. They need food, they need protein, and when they don't have many other choices, for example, up in Senegal, in eastern Senegal, in the river during the dry season, they're clearly taking fish from nets. There's no other large animal in the system that would be able to do that.
An important part of Lucy's work involves collaborating with local people. In the case of fishermen who were having their catches eaten by manatees, helping them to avoid competing for the same food. She's also tapping into local knowledge of these elusive animals and nurturing a network of researchers to help with her work in many of the West African countries that manatees live in.
They figure prominently in the cultures where people have hunted them for generations. They're often tied to legends and myths of a spirit called Mamiwata. But, those places are often very remote and there isn't a lot of contact with the outside world. And so they may know they live there, but those of us who try to do conservation work, you literally have to go to places and ask people. They're just not well known where they exist. And I think that is a problem for conservation because, as I say, they are heavily hunted throughout most of their range. And so one of the things that I've been trying to do is build a network of African scientists in their own countries. There is a lot of interest to protect manatees, but they don't have a lot of resources to do that. And so the people that I've been working with and training over the last 3 years are usually affiliated with a university or a nonprofit organization or government, and they want to start doing manatee work but don't know where to begin. And so we bring these people for 1 to 2 weeks of training where we tell them about manatees, but we also take them in the field and teach them how to use sampling equipment and how to search for manatees and how to conduct a village interview in a way that doesn't give the people leading questions. So I'm trying to build this network, not only to get information about the manatee, but to collect the samples so that we can start to analyze things like population size and what they're eating and what they need to be protected.
That was Lucy Keith-Gian from Sea to Shore and also the University of Florida, where she's doing her PhD on the ecology of West African manatees. You can find out more about Lucy's work and those elusive West African manatees by following links from our website. That's thenakedscientist.com/oceans.